cannot lift your head up, there is lifting up in Jesus. Praise you, the Lord. Father, Lord, feed us from above to stay alive. Let's not leave this place the way we came in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. You may be seated, please. Be of good courage. I said, be of good courage. It is the master, it's the Lord's goodwill to give you the kingdom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Be of good courage. Can you say that? Come on.
Be of good courage.
No. Be of good courage.
Be of good courage.
I am being of good courage. You are being courageous right now. I'm courageous. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen?
Amen.
Yes. So be of good courage. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. So that's the title of my sermon this morning. Hallelujah. How do we define to be encouraged? Encouraging somebody. It's defined a few ways. I checked the dictionary. Act of making something more likely to happen. That's one. Something that makes someone more determined, hopeful, and confident. Would you agree with that definition? Something that makes someone more likely to do something. And I define it this way. Deciding to make your problem my problem. Amen? That is encouragement. That's exactly what Jesus came to do for you and I. Amen? He decided to make your problem his problem. And in order for us to be like the Christ, I have to make my sister's problem my problem. Amen.
Amen.
We can be like the Christ. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. The first incident of the word courage, we see it in Numbers 13, 20. I'm going to read through that scripture, then we go on from there. Numbers chapter 13, verse 20. Moses had sent the children of Israel, it picked up among the 12 tribes a number of people to go search and spy on the land of promise. You see, of the tribe of Dan, he chose this, and the tribe of this, he chose this. You remember Joshua and Caleb? They went, was among the spies he sent to go check this land of Canaan. Verse 17 of Numbers 13, verse 17. I'm going to just read through up to the book of chapter 14. And Moses sent them, I'm starting verse 17 so you can follow me. Verse 17. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said unto them, Get you up this way southwards and go up unto the mountain and see the land, what it is. And the people that dwell there, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, verse 19. And what the land is that they dwell in. So he went on and told them what to do. And they went on. Verse 20. And what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not. And he said, what? And be ye of good courage. And bring up the fruit of the land. Say, now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So they went. Verse 25, for brevity of time, verse 25. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went out and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto the congregation. Verse 27. And they told him and said, we came unto land whither you sent us, and surely it's filled with milk and honey, and this is the fruit. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled. and bearing grapes. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak, verse 29. And the Amalekites dwelled in the land of the south, the Hittites, the Jebusites, on and on. Verse 30. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are able to overcome it.
Amen.
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 It was with a different spirit. Hallelujah. Verse 31. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are strong. They are stronger than we. Praise the Lord. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they searched. Please just bear with me 1 second. So they brought up an evil report. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, about chapter 14. Their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. They wept that night because of what? The bad report. Whose report shall we believe? The Lord said, you are able. And the evil report. Isn't it interesting that in Christendom, even generally speaking, when things happen, your spouse travels or goes out in the night, your mental state, you are thinking, oh, hope nothing bad happens. Why? He said, I'm with you. Or just anybody goes out and you say, I'm looking at the clock. I'm saying, well, Lord, please, watch over this person. We are in a state of always, almost all the time trying to believe the negative. We have to have a paradigm shift and begin to trust God for the positive. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And all the children murmured and they went on and on. You know the whole story. I want to go to verse 6. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that sighed the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which you pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then you bring us into the land and give it to us. A land which flows with milk and honey. Only what? Rebel not against the Lord. Listen. Would you say, if we look at this on contemporary terms, all they were doing was murmuring against Moses? Am I correct? We are not able to do this. We can't do this. But how they recorded it was a rebellion against God. See, another paid the people. Their defense, in fact, this guy was so positive. He said, look, this giant that we saw, their defense was already falling from them. Amen? So no matter what you are facing, you have to trust God's promises. You have to know the promise of God concerning the situation and know that you are more than able to go and take the country. You are more than able to pass this exam, but do your homework. Amen? Moses sent them to do their homework. Diligence. Students, kids in here, you are not going to ace an exam if you don't study. You are not going to ace it. And your head will bow low because you didn't study. You need to study. At your job place, you need to be the best of the best. It's a testimony that you are the best. When they are looking for somebody to write a program, oh, he's an engineer. Let's call Pastor Julius. He's the best. Oh, we are looking for somebody for this. Let's call this person. He's the best at what he does. That needs to be your testimony in whatever you do. Praise ye the Lord. There should be no mediocrity about us as believers.
Amen.
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 Let's go ahead. This is very interesting. We are talking about encouragement. We want to encourage one another. I'm going to see some attributes of encouragement. Now, verse 10. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long Will these people provoke me? How long will it be that they envy? They believe me. For all the signs which I have shown them among them, verse 12, I will smite them with pestilence and disinherit them. I will make of thee a greater nation, mightier than thee. And Moses started to do what? Encourage the Lord. Amen? He said, Lord, this is what you promised. Concern your people. If you go ahead and do this, then the heathen will say, well, you're able to bring them out, but you're not able to take them to the country. Can you see that there? One characteristic of encouragement, of encouraging somebody, there is no hidden agenda when you encourage, when in encouraging anybody. See, when the Lord told Moses, he said, I'll wipe them out, I'll make of thee a greater nation. What would you do if it was you? You are kidding me. You mean you're going to make me great? You're going to make me great? Moses would have taken up with the Lord. I said, okay, Lord, let's do it. Will you do it? But Moses had no hidden agenda. He remembered the word, the spoken word of the Lord concerning his people, that they were going to be promised. It wasn't about Moses. When you are in the process of encouraging somebody, you should have no hidden agenda. In the society today in which we live, ladies and gentlemen, we have parents who, quote unquote, encourage their kids into different events, different sports, pageants, soccer, football. They have ulterior motives. They want that child to bring the breadwinner. Am I right? I'm not saying don't encourage your kid, but there's a degree, there's a negative angle for which some parents take it to the nth degree. And the child becomes an article. There have been so many cases that I don't want to go into different stories. I remember one young girl was in Utah in a pageant and stuff like that. This girl, I forgot her name, started with an R in one of these states. Before you know it, the child was, every kind of abuse the child could suffer, she suffered it. Invariably, the child died, lost, or whatever. But that will not be our portion in Jesus' name. What I'm trying to say to us is this: encouragement has no ulterior motive. I'm not encouraging you to be the best at your school, my sons, my kids at school, because I'm expecting when you get, grow up and be whatever, you'll come and take care of me. No way. We want you to be the best that you can be, so that your head will be lifted up. Amen. See, there's so much stereotyping of a lot of people, whether you are black, you are stereotyped this way, you are brown, you are stereotyped this way. You have to break the norm. Praise ye the Lord. God has not created us to be mediocres. He paid the ultimate price for you and I to be the best. He gave us the best, and we have to measure up. Amen? Praise the Lord. See what Moses started saying to the Lord, started encouraging the Lord. He said, Lord, verse 18, he said, the Lord is long-suffering. Lord, don't do this. Great mercy, forgiving iniquity. And verse 20, 14, 20, said, and the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. Amen? Amen. The Lord, Moses convinced the Lord, and God turned around and said, according to your word, I've pardoned these people. I agree. That is the kind of people we need to be. Encouraging. When your brother falls down, it's not the time to walk all over him. No. It's time to pick it up. Say yes. You see, the house of God is a hospital for us who need help, who need healing. Are you there? That's why I'm here. I'm not always 100%. In fact, I'm never 100%. You can talk to my wife, ask my wife about that. Amen? Amen? But the house of God, those that need help, come, that may receive help and hope and mercy in the hour of need. Don't pick each other up. Praise ye the Lord. I'm going to give some examples. People you know, people you don't know. See, how many of us as Christians will encourage someone Who is taking over your job? After you've been fired, and teach him all that you know. How many of us? Talk to me, somebody. After you've been fired from a job, the guy who's taking over your job, you have to teach him all you know. You've been fired. Amen? That's all attributes. And that attribute of encouragement. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about lifting his name up. That's exactly what Moses did. Amen? Amen? That's exactly what Moses did. In Deuteronomy 1:38, Moses, I'm just summarizing, had struck the rock that the Lord commanded him to speak to. Amen? And for that, the Lord said, Moses, you threw. You're not taking them in there anymore. Am I right?
Yeah.
He said, hey, choose that man Joshua. He's going to take the people on. And what did Moses do? Moses encouraged him. Encouraged Joshua. How would you take that? The Lord just fired you. You just got fired from your job. And your assistant, and you got to teach him. And you're still encouraging him. Man, he brought me out of the miry clay. Look, that is what Jesus expects of us. Expects of me. That no matter what, you be the encourager. Even when you have lost.
Amen.
When you have lost your position. Moses did that. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 38. If you read the whole story, I'm just, because of the brevity of time, I'm just picking it here and there. But it's all in there, those of you who have gone through the scriptures. That's what exactly happened to Moses. And it was encouraged. Deuteronomy 1, verse 38. He told him, be. Let's read that. Verse 38. The Lord said, but Joshua the son of Nun, which stand before thee, he shall go in thither. Encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. And that's exactly what he read through the scriptures. See, the world is hungry for compliment and appreciation. See, as we must give account of every idle word, so we must also give account of every idle silence. When you're in a position, my sister does something good to me, appreciate. Thank you. Your spouse mops the floor. Thank you, honey. Yes, it's your house. Thank you, honey, for doing it. Praise ye the Lord. It would encourage the person to do even more. We are talking about encouragement. How do we identify someone that needs encouragement? How? Talk to me, somebody. Throw some words at me. How do we identify those that need encouragement? No, I said, how do you and I identify somebody that needs encouragement?
How do you know?
When they're down.
When they're down? Okay, somebody said when somebody's down, they can identify that he needs encouragement. Any other suggestions? Talk to me, somebody.
When they're
down. Yes. Yes. How do we know that someone needs encouragement?
Understand them by their body language.
By their body language, amen? By their body language, you identify somebody that needs encouragement. Yes, ma'am?
I think in every situation, we always need encouragement. It doesn't matter if you're down or up.
Woo! Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Everyone needs encouragement. Turn to the left and turn to the right. At one point in time or the other, we all need encouragement. Just one word will lead. You never know what X is going through or what Y is going through. Everybody. Why? What? Your answers are correct. Everybody's answer is correct. I'm just saying, look around you. Everyone needs encouragement. I'm going to give us a few examples. How many of us know Frederick Handel? You may not know him, but you'll find, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. You know that song? Everybody knows that song. Yeah. Amen? He was a class act. Composer, musician, name it. This guy, his parents wanted to be a lawyer, but at age 70 he gravitated towards music. Age 56 he was creme de la creme, world. But do you know that? Before he became what he is, he had challenges. Challenges, the likes of which, whoa, on the verge of bankruptcy, he had a form of stroke that made his hands, one of his hands paralyzed. He recovered, four of his fingers he couldn't use. He recovered. But in the process, he was so much discouraged, he wanted to throw in the towel. He was ready to file bankruptcy. Somebody, a friend of his, gave him a piece of music, what they call liberato, about the life of Christ. And that totally, he had gone to hold a concert, and that was his last concert, and he thought, well, he's going to go to jail, what they call a debtor's jail. And they gave him that piece of music that we all know him for by today. A stranger gave it to him. And in 24 days, he put a music to it. He became a believer, and we have what we have today. According to peace, people and musicians, they said it's arguably the most important composition because of the space of time in which he put it all together. It's in a class act. But you know what? It was just about the point to file bankruptcy. And a friend just gave him a piece of music, a piece written about Christ. And he put it all together. So everybody needs encouragement. Even those who are way up there. Abraham Lincoln, the 16th president of the United States, when he was shot, assassinated, guess what they found in his pocket? They found an article, a newspaper article, saying that, let me quote this correctly. Abe Lincoln is one of the greatest statesmen of all time. Why did he keep such a paper in his pocket? He needed encouragement. This black, the civil rights, slavery and all that stuff was going on, and he was in the middle of it. He needed encouragement. So he grabbed up that paper and read it. Somebody believes in me. Somebody, everybody needs encouragement. Everybody needs encouragement. That's the president. You think Obama is up there, he doesn't need encouragement? You talk to his wife. And I pray in the name of Jesus that those of us that are married, that you encourage us. Those who encourage you with your spouse. And if you don't have somebody who encourage you, look, you've got to find somebody. You all need encouragement. Praise the Lord. Jesus, the woman at the well. John chapter 8. The world had written out, the Pharisees had written out. Amen? You all know the story. Caught in adultery and this and that and that. They are ready to stone her. And the Lord, she was writing. He said, hey, whichever of you has not committed sin, throw the calf, cast the first stone. And what happened? Anybody cast any stone? Jesus lifted out of the merry clay. He said, go. Where are thy accusers? He said, no. He said, go. He encouraged her. The world, looking for encouragers. Praise the Lord. How about the king himself? How by the King himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look at Matthew 26, verse 35 through 45. He was in the Garden of Gethsemane. Went with the 12, then he took the 3 with him. Peter said, Matthew 26, 35. You know this story? The disciples, they went to sleep. Jesus came back. He said, whoa, guys, can't you even just hang in there with me for a little while? What do you think he was looking for? Encouragement. He said, Father, I wish this cup would pass over me. But he said, but not my will, but thy will. He was looking for somebody, but there was nobody. Why? Because he himself bore our souls. He himself bore our sins. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. So nobody was found. Nobody could fulfill it. But he has fulfilled it in himself. Say, Father, Father. Ah, let this thing pass over. But not my will, but thy will. Praise ye the Lord. If the Lord will desire encouragement, how about me? This bald head. How about you? We all need encouragement. One point in time in our lives or the other. Praise ye the Lord. See, this I ran to this short article by Walt Disney. Everybody knows Walt Disney, right? Yeah. Disneyland, the guy who started Disneyland. He said the world. He said there are 3 kinds of people in the world. There are well poisoners. Those who poison your well. They discourage you and stomp on your creativity and tell you what you can't do. There are lawnmowers, people who are well-intentioned but self-absorbed. They tend to their own needs, mow their own lawns, never leave their yard to help another person. And then say there are life enhancers. People who reach out to enrich the life of others, to lift them up and inspire them. We need more life enhancers. You and I need to be life enhancers. Praise ye the Lord. If somebody was to mention your name, in what category would you be? If somebody was to mention my name, which category would I be? In mathematics, in any form of mathematics, and those of you that are mathematicians and engineers, if I'm right or wrong, tell me, Peter, you're wrong. Every mathematical equation is based on 4 things: addition, subtraction, multiplication, and division. Whether it's an algebraic equation, whether it's a quadratic equation, am I right, Engineer Julius? Am I right? And it's interesting. Those are the 4 categories of people we have on the face of the earth. There are those who add to your life. We call them adders. They make the lives of others enjoyable. They do so intentionally. You want to be an adder? You add to people's life, they do it intentionally. You get into a room, somebody inspires a glow. Somebody who's down feels picked up when they get around you. There are subtractors, people who subtract from you. They make your burdens heavier. The sad thing is that they do it unintentionally. At one point in time or the other, we may all fall into one of these categories, which you do stuff, and not intentionally, but unintentionally. I subtract from the person's life. That will not be your portion in Jesus' name. I said, that will not be your portion moving forward in Jesus' name. When your name is mentioned, you will not be a subtractor. Amen?
Amen.
You'll be an adder. Amen.
Amen.
Then, there are those who are multipliers. They are passionate about making a difference. They help sharpen your vision and maximize your strength. Those are multipliers. Then there are dividers. Dividers are so damaging. Their negative actions are intentional. They are hurtful people. They damage relationships and cause havoc and disharmony among people's lives. Praise ye the Lord. We'll be an enhancer in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You'll be an adder in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And you will be a multiplier in Jesus' name.
Amen.
When your name is mentioned, it's been in one of these categories in the name of Jesus. And the Lord turned your story around if it had been contrary. You see, if we treat a man, we treat people, we treat a man as he appears to be, you have made him worse. If you treat a man as he appears to be, you have made him worse. But treat a man as if he were already what he potentially could be, and you make him what he should be. Amen? Is that right? That's what Jesus did for us, in that while we're yet sinners, he died for us.
Hallelujah.
When we're nobodies, he said we are sitting in heavenly place, authority and power. Amen?
Amen.
That is Jesus for you. He said I give you power over all of the powers of the evil one, so nothing shall be any means hurt you. Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah.
That is what the Lord. Is it because you are all that and all that? No. Because he sees you where, not as you are, but as you are going to be. Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah.
He says, eyes have not seen, neither has ears heard what he has prepared for you and for me. Amen. I was mentioning to us last Sunday about a lady in Houston, Pastor Francis was relating to us, whose son was, he was maybe the baddest of the bad. Rather the mother calling this kid names and this and that, which is what he was doing, the mother would say, you, look at you. You're going to be a doctor. You're going to be this. She was pronouncing what the son would be, not as he is. Amen.
Amen.
And get what's happening. The guy has to rise up. Because somebody believed in him. Not as he is in that present condition, but as he will be. If you treat a person the way he is, you make him worse. But if you begin to treat them as though they were already there, then will they rise up to the occasion. Praise ye the Lord.
Yeah.
This is some of the attributes of the encourager. You see, as we moving forward this year, I pray in the name of Jesus that in this assembly, GMI Church, once, if there's a characteristic that you want to be known by, is that you believe God for his word. You are an adder, you are an enhancer, and you're a multiplier.
Amen.
He has a dream. She has a dream.
Amen.
We're going to support the dream.
Amen.
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 I'm not going to tell you, you can't do that. Yes, you can. I said, yes, you can. And yes, you will.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Five things to be an encourager for us to make sure to know. Everybody you see wants to be somebody. Would you agree with me? Everybody, how many people will you write to? Oh, you know what? I don't want to be somebody. I just want to be a ditch digger. I just want to be some bum on the street. Everybody wants to be somebody. No matter their condition right now, but deep down in their soul, they want to be somebody. They want to be reckoned with. Everybody needs somebody. Would you agree with me? No matter how rich you are, no matter if you are Bill Gates, Steve Jobs, whatever, they need somebody. They cannot do it all by themselves. The Lord never created us to be an island. He never created us to live ourselves. He created us to be a community. He said, Adam, it's not good. So he created for him a helpmate. Amen. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. Three. Anybody who helps somebody influences a lot of somebodies. Anybody who helps somebody influences a lot of somebodies. The fact that you reach out and help this person. She reached out and helped the next person. Just one singular act of encouragement has picked this person up. And she can turn around and pay it forward. Amen? Amen. The Bible said where Jesus went, he was doing good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say the mighty healer, he healed the lepers. And when the cripples saw him, they started jumping. That's what we ought to be. Everywhere you go, you need to be doing good. Because everybody needs somebody. Everybody wants to be somebody. Four, nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care. If you met Jesus today, walking the hot roads of Galilee, it's not how much he knew. They knew he could be touched with the feelings of the infirmities. Yes or yes? Nice. Talk to me, somebody.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely. If I came to your parents, I should be able to know that I can be touched. I can go into their home and I need a slice of bread to give it to you. Praise you, the Lord. Everywhere he went, he was doing good. The mighty healer healed the leper. When the cripples saw him, they started walking. Everywhere he went, my Lord was doing good. Everywhere you go, you need to be doing good. Somebody's sick, pray for them. It has nothing to do with you. If there's a cripple, pray for them. If there's a dead, pray for them. It's not about you, like Pastor Emmanuel was telling us last week. When we cease to be Jesus to the world, who then will be Jesus to the world? Will Lucifer be Jesus? No! We ought to start doing what Jesus under every and all circumstances. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Is that right, buddy? Huh? Amen. Praise Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Praise Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Sometimes we feel intimidated as if it's us that's going to do the miracle. It has nothing to do with you. It's all about him.
Yes, sir.
If it's his will, you do it. See, behind every great person in history that you ever know, there's always somebody who encouraged them along the way. Everybody that you know that's great. I mentioned to you This guy, Handel, Frederick Handel, Messiah. How many of you have watched the Chronicles of Narnia? Alright? How about Lord of the Rings? You know it was the movie was written based on a book? Right? These two writers, one of them was C.S. Lewis and Tolkien, they were both professors at Oxford, England. They met every Thursday to encourage one another. Not knowing years down the road, the encouragement will create, I mean, for like C.S. Lewis, he was going nowhere. Same thing, J.R. Tolkien, who wrote Chronicles, Lord of the Rings. But through encouraging one another in their writing, this guy Tolkien gave Lewis, said, you know, why don't you pursue Christianity? See if you could bring something about Christianity. He encouraged him. And guess what today? His books is one of the greatest in Christian apologetics today. Because somebody encouraged him. The same thing. The other way around, he was encouraging Tolkien about, he was writing fictions and they encouraged one another. Folks, the world looking for encouragement. The world is looking for you. They're looking for me to encourage somebody. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I'm telling the truth. The world is looking for you and for me to encourage somebody. Will you do it? Will I do it? I could talk about Edison and Ford. Ford Motors and Edison, the light bulb. They are both friends, they were neighbors. Edison. Ford worked for Edison.
Mama.
Suddenly, people were telling him, look, Henry Ford has put an engine, something together in a model car, and he received encouragement from Edison. If I don't want to, but they encourage one another. At that time, Edison was one of the greatest geniuses in inventions, and Ford was working for him. When he heard about what Ford had done, he said, wow, you have created an internal combustion engine by itself. He said, from that point, at that point in time in Ford's history, Henry Ford, he said, I was discouraged. I didn't know whether I was going in the right direction or in the wrong direction. He said, sometimes I feel I was doing the right, sometimes I feel I was doing the wrong. But a word from this guy, Edison, just propelled him forward. And today, who doesn't know a Ford automobile? Huh? Ford Mustang, Ford this, Ford that. Because somebody encouraged him. You will help people reach their destinies. Their God-given destinies. Just simple encouragement. The question is, will you do it? We'll talk about Isaac Newton and a few others, but I won't bore you with that. How about Esther and Mordecai? In the book of Esther, you all know the story. Amen?
Amen.
Mordecai said, maybe for not such a time as this, you have come to the kingdom. Amen? And what do we see? The people are set free. Praise ye the Lord. Because she received. He said, if I die, I die. He said, well, you guys, go pray and fast. Because it's against the law for me to go before the king to make such a petition. He said, but go pray. For me. Tell all the people, me and my maid will do the same thing. And she did it. And he will pray. And the Lord sent him deliverance for his people. Who knows? Maybe for such a time as this, God has brought you into this congregation. Maybe for such a time as this, God has appointed your place in this holy assembly. Because I tell you what, this assembly is not about a human being. No! If it was about a human being, I'd be the first out of here. It's all about Jesus.
Yes, sir.
He belongs on top. It's not about money.
That's right.
It's not about nothing. It's all about Jesus.
Yes,
praise you, the Lord.
Yeah.
I mean, for such a time as this. Because I was appointed.
Yes,
I was appointed as part of the armies. To bring forth the armies of 12. The Lord said, I'll restore to you the years that the conqueror woman has eaten, the caterpillar. Maybe that is why God had appointed you to be here at such a time to listen to such a thing as this.
Yes, sir.
Because in so many assemblies, sometimes it's about a pastor, sometimes about money, sometimes about this and about that. But I can tell you categorically, it's not about any of those things. It's that the Lord may be lifted up.
Yes.
Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And may Lord help us. That you may fulfill your own calling. And that you may not murmur against God's anointed. Against the servants. Not as lords over God's heritage, but as servants we are. Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah.
There's one more thing I'm going to say to us. As my time runs out. You see, there are experts, a lot of experts, on a lot of things. Don't listen to the experts. One more thing, number five. Number four is nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care. Number five, God loves everybody. God loves everybody. Whether you know it or not, he loves everybody.
Yes,
he's their creation. He's their creator.
Yes,
he loves everybody. Yes. Not because they belong to your tribe or not your tribe. It has nothing to do with it. Whether you're white or black or you're brown, has nothing to do with it. Jesus loves everybody.
Yes.
And because Jesus loves everybody, you need to love everybody. Listen to this. The height of your love for God will never exceed the depth of your love for one another. Do you hear me? The height of your depth of your love for God will never exceed the depth of your love for one another. You see, people say, oh, I love God, I love God. You say you love God who you don't see, and your brother who you see, what are you doing? You can't love God if you don't love his people. It's all hypocrisy. Is somebody with me? Do you disagree with me?
No.
No, if you disagree with me, it's okay.
No, I
don't. But I know I'm telling the truth. Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. See, sometimes people tend to be too choosy about who they help and who they encourage. They look for people like themselves. And some people even believe that they should help only individuals who believe like they believe. And they think as they do. That's not what it should be. Is somebody with me?
Yes, sir.
Let me, years ago I ran into some. A little humor here, let me throw it in here. A man had fallen into the pit. And here were a few things, different people ran across him. Here's what they said. A subjective person came along and said, I feel for you down there. An objective person came along and said, well, it's logical that someone should fall down there. Praise ye the Lord. A little humor. A Pharisee said, only bad people fall into the pits. A mathematician calculated how the individual fell into the pit. A newspaper reporter wanted an exclusive story on how the person, about the person who fell into the pit. And so, you can draw a parallel in so many things about life. That's what's true. The newspaper reporter only complained it's bad news. Praise ye the Lord. A fundamental, he said, you deserve that beat. A Calvin, he said, if you've been saved, you never fall into that pit. But thank God for Jesus.
Amen.
I said, thank God for Jesus.
Amen.
Let me go on. And Amina said, you are saved and still fell in that pit? A charismatic said, do you know what the charismatics are? Just confess. That's the magic that beat. Just confess. A realist came along and said, now, that's the beat. A geologist came along and told him to appreciate the rock strata in the pit. The county inspector asked if he had a permit to dig the pit. A self-pitying person said, you haven't seen anything until you've seen my pit. An optimist said, things could be worse. Say yes, Lord. That's my dear sister. The pessimist said, things will get worse. Which category are you? But this man, praise ye the Lord. Jesus seen the man reach down and took him by the hand and lifted him up.
Hallelujah.
That's what you and I. Of the mighty clay. He set my feet on the rock to stay, and he put a song in my heart to say, a song of victory. That's what we should hear. That's what we should hear to the world around us. Praise ye the Lord. Sometimes we go through challenges and you're expecting encouragement from the experts. How many have been there? Huh? You're expecting encouragement from the experts. And hear what they do. If you depend on the experts for your encouragement, you might be making a mistake. Let me tell you a few things that some experts said some years back. They said heavier than air flying machines are not possible. This is Lord Kelvin of the Royal Society of England in 1895. Did you hear what he said? He said heavier than air flying machines are not possible. Do we have air pinners today?
Yes.
Put him wrong. He was an expert. Everything that can be invented has been invented. Charles Duhigg, director of the U.S. Patent Office, 1899. Eh? Can you imagine that? Me too, makes me laugh. This one will make you laugh more. Listen to this. U.S. President, 1905. Sensible and responsible women do not want to vote.
Yeah.
That's a good president. President Grover Cleveland, U.S. President, 1905. This one is funny. Say, there's no likelihood man can ever tap the power of the atom. Robert Millikan. You know who he was? Nobel Prize winner in physics, 1923. How wrong he was. If you are expecting encouragement from the experts, you're going to the wrong source. Amen? And let me say sometimes, your encouragement from the word, first and foremost, the report of what God says concerning you. No matter what this pastor said, That bishop said, that deacon said, what is God's promise concerning you? He said, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. That's the word. So if you are looking for health, breakthroughs here and there, you can go to the world. Look for a promise that relates to the situation you find yourself. I remember Pastor Yara was telling us, giving us how 1999 to 2001, the situation with my sister Ebule, they were devoid of the word. Hebrews, I think it was 4:11. The word of God is powerful. It can go into the soul, into the mouth, and this and that and that. And they were speaking it. A woman that was given 6 months to live. She's still here. 15 years. Whose report would you believe? The name of Jesus is lifted up above every name. Yes. It's at the name of Jesus. Every knee on earth,
yes,
and in heaven,
yes,
the back.
Yes.
So don't believe the doctor's report. Don't believe the expert's report. Let's believe the one. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Look, sometimes you don't have anybody around you. I want you to encourage yourself.
Yes.
He said, the Bible said, David encouraged himself in the Lord. Look, also, I want to encourage us. If you're down, it's not a time to run away from the fellowship of believers.
Yeah.
Because you see, the devil, like a running lion, went about seeking whom he may devour. In the Serengeti, the deer and the antelope, as long as they are in a pack, the lion cannot catch them. Amen? Yeah. Go watch those National Geographic movies. It cannot catch them. But he's looking for that singular antelope or deer that goes astray from the pack. He's going to spin a wheel around them. And before you know it, get on down. It becomes much for life. Ladies and gentlemen, when you are down, you want to come hang out with me. But come hang out in fellowship with one another. Praise the Lord. Because the devil will spin thoughts in your mind. You think you are not what it is. You think, oh, this person is this, that. Bam, 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 bam. No, 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 no. We are just sinners saved by grace.
Yeah.
Somebody with me?
Yeah.
Who's a sinner saved by grace here?
Yeah.
I don't say that. Don't say for some reason. I'm saved by grace.
Yeah.
I will take it to the bank of heaven. You put a bound in my step. That it's not because the Pope did this, or somebody said this, because sprinkle water on my head, I'm saved. No, sir, indeed. Praise you, the Lord. Please, as you encourage to encourage yourself, don't let yourself worry when you are doing your best. Don't be in a hurry when accuracy depends on it. Don't judge yourself or anybody until you've heard all the facts. Don't believe that anything is impossible without trying it. Be an encourager. You may not have done it. The 4 minute mile, this few doctors up to that point where it's impossible to run the 4 minute mile until Roger Bannister did it. After he did it, every other person you. Some of you know the story. Before me, they say, the science will say it's impossible. Your lungs will blow up if you try to run a mile in 4 minutes. But once Roger Bannister did it, he gave everybody the permission. See, the fact that you accomplish greatness, the fact that you have the light of Christ in you, and you're making it shine, don't let it go down. You give your neighbor the permission to let the light shine.
Yeah.
And together, can make this world a better place.
Amen.
Because our light, where city set upon a hill like upon a hill, say, wherever let your light shine. Let your light shine. Amen.
Amen.
That men may see your good works and glorify the Father who is in heaven. Don't waste your time on trivial matters. Major on the majors. Don't let yourself give good intentions. Don't give good intentions as your satisfactory excuse for not doing that which is right. Have a lot of bitterness to God. Forgive is what he said. Forgive. This is the foundation of what we believe. He said, the manner in which you forgive, you'll be forgiven. If you are forgiving somebody, you don't go back yesterday. I keep bringing it up. Amen? Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. As we round up, I hope you get something from this. Because it changed my outlook on life itself. It changed my outlook on a few things about how we live to one another. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Shall you rise up?